Numion was pulling the blade of his halberd from the skull of a dying stegosaur.
"We should pursue them, my lord. Varun and I can ensure they do not return,"
he promised with a feral look. He'd removed his battle helm and allowed the heat of the jungle to prick at his bare, ebon skin. Vulcan held up his hand without meeting his champion's eye.
"No, we'll make our landing zone here and consolidate. I want to speak to Ferris and Mortarion first. If this campaign is going to succeed, and there still be a planet left to bring back to the Imperium, we must work together. The Earth here is rich and will yield much for the Crusade, but only if it isn't tainted by the war to bring 1544 to compliance."
It was a cold, methodical way of differentiating a world. It meant it was the fourth world to be brought to compliance by the 154th Expeditionary Fleet.
"I do not think they see it that way."
They were standing apart from the rest, with only the mute Varun within earshot. Around them, the battlefield rang with cold, sporadic barks of bolter fire as Xenos survivors were executed. More distantly, the army units were being recalled by discipline masters and an impromptu audit taken of their numbers. Now Vulcan met Numion's gaze.
"Speak your mind. The 14th treat us with contempt and the 10th as minor legionaries. I see no coalition between them and the Salamanders, at least not one that comes easily." "We cannot isolate ourselves, Numion. Mortarion is simply proud. In us, he sees a force as implacable as his own Death Guard, that is all. Ferris is a friend to this Legion and to me. But, well, let us just say my brother has always had a zealous streak. It sometimes clouds his mind to anything but the creed of the Iron Hands."
"Flesh is weak,"
Numion's lip curled as he repeated the doctrine of the 10th Legion.
"They mean us. We are weak."
The champion's demeanor suggested he wanted to prove otherwise, but the Iron Hands were far from a reckoning, off towards the eastern peninsula of 1544's primary desert continent. Vulcan interrupted.
"They mean anyone who is not of the 10th. It is just pride. Are you not proud of your legion?"
Numion saluted sharply across his breastplate. For a salamander, he carried the rigidity of one of Gilliman's own sons quite convincingly.
"I am fireborn, my liege."
Smiling, Vulcan raised his hands to show he'd meant no disrespect to the veteran.
"You have been in my pyre guard since the beginning, Numion. You and your brothers met me on Prometheus, do you remember?"
Now the dutiful warrior bowed.
"It is forever ingrained in my memory, Lord. It was the greatest moment of the Legion to be reunited with our father."
"Aye, as it was for me. You of all the Fire Drakes are preeminent, my first captain, my equerry. Do not take the words of the 10th to heart, brother. In truth, they only desire to prove their loyalty and worth to their father, as we all do. Despite his gruff exterior, Ferris has a great respect for his fellow legionaries, especially the 18th. You burn with the passion and fury of the salamanders."
Vulcan returned a feral grin, evident in the tone of his voice.
"What is the coldness of a Medusan mind compared to that, eh?"
He clapped his hand on Numion's shoulder, but the Primarch's bonhomie was fleeting.
"Earth, fire, and metal. We of the 18th are forged strong. Never forget that."
"Your wisdom humbles me, but I have never understood your temperance and compassion, my lord,"
Numion confessed. Vulcan frowned, as if about to impart some hidden truth he had always harbored. Then his expression changed and hardened. He broke eye contact. Numion was about to question again when Vulcan raised his hand for silence. The Primarch's gaze was penetrating as he looked into the trees around them. Though Numion could not discern what had suddenly got his father's attention, he knew Vulcan's sight was keener than any of his siblings. The tension in Vulcan's posture transferred to his pyre guard, which quickly ebbed when he relaxed again. He gestured seemingly at the air.
"Show yourselves! Have no fear! No harm will befall you!"
Numion cocked his head in confusion. His red eyes flared at the first of the humans emerging from the forest. He brandished his halberd in front of his Primarch protectively. It was odd that he hadn't detected them.
"Be at ease, brother,"
Vulcan counseled, approaching the terrified jungle dwellers. They had come from hidden places, deep within the trees, stepping out from shadowed boles or lofty nests. Some appeared from the earth itself, emerging from subterranean refuges. Tribal tattoos marked their faces, and their bodies were swathed in apparel made from fire-baked bark and the stitching together of leaves. Though they had the aspect of beasts, they were definitely human. And only now the battle was over did they choose to show themselves. Vulcan took off his helmet, a snarling drake's head with an immense flame-like crest. Honor scars described a long legacy of heroic deeds upon a face the color of onyx, which also possessed a softness belied by the Primarch's fearsome appearance.
"See," he said to a boy child, brave enough to stand his ground, "we are not monsters."
Confronted by the giant, diabolic Primarch, the boy's terrified expression suggested he thought otherwise. Behind him, the other humans of his tribe cowered. Though he kneeled, Vulcan was much taller than the child. The Primarch stowed his forge hammer on his back and came to the boy with open palms to show he wasn't holding a weapon. Around him, the rest of the pyre guard had gathered. Numion had summoned the others with Promethean battle cant, known only to the fire drakes, and they all watched apprehensively. Sworn to protect the Primarch, they were warriors apart. Terran-born, they did not always fully appreciate the earthy sentiments of the Nocturnian culture in which Vulcan was raised, but they knew their duty and felt it in their gene-enhanced blood. Emboldened by the curious boy, more human refugees started to appear from out of the jungle. Hundreds joined the few score that had come initially. After a brief, stunned silence, they were wailing and moaning piteously. Their words were hard to make out, but one kept being repeated over and over. "Ibsen." So this place had a name after all. Vulcan stood up to survey them, and the liberated humans backed off instantly.
"What should we do with them, my lord?"
asked Numion. Vulcan regarded them a moment longer. There were many hundreds now. Some of the army units had already begun trying to corral them, while remembrancers swarmed throughout the landing zone, documenting and interviewing now that the area was deemed safe. A woman, perhaps the brave boy child's mother, approached Numion and began babbling and crying. The native's language was some bastardized blend of Eldar speech and proto-human word forms. Nearby, xeno-linguists within the invasion force were struggling to discern meaning, but made assumptions that, while distressed, the people were pleased to have been freed from the yoke of the aliens. She scratched at the pyre guard's battle plate, and he looked as if he was about to forcibly remove her when a glance from his Primarch stayed Numion's hand.
"It is only fear. We have seen it before."
Vulcan gently pulled the hysterical woman away from his equerry. Touched by the Primarch's aura, she calmed enough for an army trooper to take her away. A little further away, a picta flashed as one of the remembrancers recorded the moment for posterity.
"You."
The man quailed as Vulcan addressed him. My lord?
What is your name?
Glavazel, sire. Imagist. Vulcan nodded.
You will surrender your picta to the nearest discipline master.
Sire?
No one must see that we are saviors, Glavazel. The Emperor needs us to be warriors, to be death incarnate. To be anything less would endanger the Crusade and my legion. Do you understand?
The Remembrancer nodded slowly and gave his picta to one of the Faerian discipline masters who had overheard the exchange.
When this war is done, you have my sanction to come and speak with me. I will tell of my life and the coming of the Father. Will that be sufficient recompense for the loss of your images?
Glavazel nodded, then bowed. He seemed to have abruptly lost the ability to speak. When he'd been ushered away, Vulcan turned back to Numion.
I have seen fear, he told him. On Nocturne, when the earth split and the sky cried tears of fire, that was real fear.
He swept his gaze across the tribespeople as they were slowly moved away.
I should see suffering.
His face became hard and unyielding.
But how can I feel compassion for a race whose hardships do not nearly compare to those endured by my own people?
Nonplussed, and for want of something better to say, Numion replied,
I am not from Nocturne.
Vulcan turned from the disappearing refugees. A sigh escaped his lips in what might have been an expression of regret.
I know. So, show me then, Numion, how are we to liberate this world and ensure its compliance despite the feelings of our brother legions?